HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show where we celebrate the power of dreams, coincidence, and imagination, three excellent sources of inspiration, guidance, and healing that are much underrated in our culture. We're trying to change that. This is Robert Moss. We have three wonderful guests today. You've heard of the Indy 500. This is the Indy 3. We've invited three dream teachers and dream ambassadors who are active in and around Indianapolis and are doing remarkable things in an environment where outsiders might think there's not much encouragement for this kind of thing. Our first dream teacher is Meredith Eastwood. I'll bring her on in just a moment. She'll be followed by Jennifer Foley and then Teresa Vasquez. All wonderful, wonderful dreamers and teachers of active dreaming. I just had the pleasure of spending a whole week with Meredith at Magical Mosswood Hollow, where I lead some of my advanced trainings. We did really one of my best programs ever, my favorite, the soul recovery training, and then we did some dreaming with Mr. Jung. So hello, stranger. Hello, Meredith.
Well, hello, Robert. I'm happy to be back talking to you again.
Yes, talking to you across the snow. So I'm going to very much hand the show over to you three. What I want you to do is tell us about what you're doing in Indianapolis to help people open to the power of dreaming. I know you're leading many creative programs. Let me say that Meredith is a wonderful photographer, a children's author, a former teacher, now a teacher of active dreaming, and an all-round inspiring and active person in bringing the gifts of dreaming to our world. So Meredith, tell us a bit about what you and your companions are doing in Indianapolis for the dreaming.
Well, our program started about 5 years ago with some study groups when we first became aware of your work in the world and your writing. And the people who came to those groups wanted to continue. And after taking completing the training and during that, we've implemented many different programs, circles, monthly circles, 12-week classes, World Day of Active Dreaming events, concerts that benefit various community organizations using your poetry and various musicians. Presently, we are doing some work through the generosity of a law firm that's opened their doors for us to do workshops that will involve some community visioning and bringing various groups or making the work more accessible to various groups in our community that might not otherwise have known about it. In addition, we've done speech for church groups and for community organizations. We've done book club talks. We've had house parties where we've introduced the work of dreaming to adolescents and families. And presently, several not-for-profit organizations that have contacted me to do some work with their populations and, that they serve and also with their staff. So we're really busy.
Oh, wow. I think I have to lie down, Meredith. I mean, you've just listed so many things. I think I have to lie down and take a little break. Take us in. Give us the experience. Take us inside just one of the scenes or situations where you lead and teach and inspire people. And give us a feel for what's going on. Give us a sense of what is happening with the people who are coming, particularly the newcomers who may never have been able to share and honor dreams in the way that we teach and may have lacked validation and company. So just take us inside one scene where you've been present teaching, inspiring with a group, and give us a feel for what goes on.
Well, several come to mind, but I'm going to do the one with 16-year-old girls. And these were a dozen girls that were celebrating a birthday party. And one of the activities where they had the girls journey or do a dream meditation to find their house of gifts and bring back a gift for the birthday girl. Now, this was after we did, you know, some of the more basic practices of active dreaming. But what happened in this situation was the girls came back with marvelous gifts for the birthday girl, but also with this burning desire to do more with their dreams, and they erupted into all these questions about dreams, and we ended up taking one gal's dreams about what she found in her House of Gifts, and we played it out in Dream Theater, and everyone played a part in her dream, and we got to interview the parts, and these girls are still talking about the Dream Theater, where they could actually act out their dreams and really feel themselves present within the dream and gain the information that they needed from the dream. So that was lots of fun.
Going to taking teen girls to a House of Gifts to find gifts on the occasion of the birthday and finding gifts of all of them, and then embodying it by performing it in Dream Theater. Dream Theater is my favorite element in the live workshops that you and I teach. It's amazing how it bonds people. It's amazing how much humor and energy comes crackling through. Tell us your experience of introducing our core techniques, including our simple way of sharing dreams and stories, how that works with people who've had no prior exposure to anything like this. Because although I teach so many advanced trainings, I personally still love leading a program where there are absolute newbies who've never had an experience like this before, because so much can happen so quickly. That's true, isn't it? Tell me your experience about bringing this to newbies.
Yes. Well, of course, all these girls were new to the practice, and so one of the very first things we did was we demonstrated the lightning dream work process using, I have a co-facilitator who's learning the work, Jenny, and we decided that she would tell a dream, one of her dreams, and we prepared ahead of time, and then I worked the dream with her using our lightning dream work process, where we had her tell the dream and then give it a title and then tell what her about the dream upon waking, and we explored the reality check, the things in her waking life, and we explained the process as we went through the lightning dream work process, so that when it came time for everyone to participate in the group, if it were my dream, and to give feedback to Jenny's dream, they were prepared to do that, and they just fell into the process so naturally that we were amazed at how quickly that they learned and became involved and understood, you know, the right way to respond to people's dreams.
This is so important. Hopefully they're becoming dream ambassadors who are spreading a passion for this and the tools and techniques for doing it every day amongst their peers and in their families. I hope that's going on.
Yeah, and we also have used the lightning dream work process to help maybe in with community visioning that we did on one program we did, to help them see how they could take a community vision or a dream and apply that technique for that as well. And that's been fairly successful too, so we're excited.
Well, I'm excited to hear that you found a law firm to help to support you. I'm excited that you're working with nonprofits. I mean, this work and play is, as you know well, for communities, organizations, as well as for individuals. In fact, its social aspects are marvelous. When people have learned the lightning dreamwork technique, we better pause and explain that to people who aren't yet familiar with it, but when they've learned our simple method of sharing a dream or a story while a safe space is held and getting some non-authoritarian, non-intrusive feedback and being guided to action, people want to do that everywhere, and it becomes so easy. You can do it with an absolute stranger. You can do it in a checkout line at the supermarket and so on. So let's just explain for those who may not be quite clear, Meredith. We're talking about a process which actually I invented 17 years ago and is now being practiced all over the place, all over the world, actually. We call it the lightning dreamwork because it's meant to be quick, like a lightning bolt. It's meant to focus energy. It's meant to be something you can do in a few minutes just about anywhere, anytime, and it doesn't preempt taking much longer to reflect on, to muse over a dream or an experience. I mean, you might need to walk with that some time. You might need to do research. But the lightning dream work not only suits our hurry sickness, so we don't think we've got any time, so we can do it in minutes, but enables us to get something done rapidly in a rapid-fire manner, which can start the day right, start things right at the breakfast table or in the corner of the school playground or in the coffee clutch at work, and which you can continue later on. So there are four steps. No, just summarizing them. I just want to go through them briefly for those of you who may not be familiar. And then if there's time, I'm going to see whether Meredith has a short dream report she'd like to share with me, or maybe we'll do it the other way around, so we can actually demonstrate how the technique is played. So step one in our lightning dream work game, which is not only for sharing dreams, but sharing any personal story, is we help the person talking to tell their story simply and clearly and give it a title. There's power in that. There's power in being able to tell your story in a way that holds the attention of the listener. business. So we help people get much better at speaking and telling stories. Number two, we ask a few basic questions. The first question is always, what are your first feelings around the experience? The second is a reality check. We ask, what do you recognize from this and the rest of your life, and could some part of it play out in the future? Then we ask the teller, what do you want to know? Step three is we talk really nicely, really politely, offering our feedback in a non-intrusive, non-authoritarian fashion by saying, if it were my dream or if it were my life, I'd think about such and such, which enables us to say anything we like without playing guru or expert or master. And finally, we want an action plan. We want to encourage the dreamer or the experiencer to do something to embody and bring the energy and guidance of the dreamer experience into everyday life. So, Meredith, do you have a short dream report you'd like to tell me, or shall I dig up one to tell you?
Well, I think I have a real short one that I had about 2 years ago, and I sort of still remember it. I don't know why.
Okay. All right.
I'm sitting at a long table with lots of people. We're having a really good time. And I, for some reason, I hear a noise under the table. I look under the table, and there's a great big drop-off, or a kind of like a cavern, or a space that drops into I don't know where. And there's a fairy type person sitting on the ledge, beckoning me, you know, to drop beneath the table and go into the depth of this cavern that's beneath the table. That's it.
Okay. Well, that's an exciting scene. What's the title of this scene?
Well, I titled it World Beneath the Table.
Okay, that's good. And what, because the dream was some time ago, what were your feelings at the time coming out of the dream, if you remember, and what are your feelings right now?
Well, coming out of the dream, I was sort of enchanted. I thought, this could be a children's book.
And what are your feelings talking about it right now?
Well, my feelings about it right now are a little bit more sobering, because I think for me, I was like, you know, I'm really more intrigued by the notion of worlds beneath the worlds that we live in, and that we might not be aware of them.
Okay, well, you're going into the reality check, which really, in this case, relates to how your imagination turns on these things. It's unlikely in ordinary reality that you'll find a crater, a cavernous space opening beneath the table, but in your imagination, and you do write wonderful fantasy stories for children and others, it's possible you've thought about this kind of thing. So what is your own context of understanding the dream in terms of your imagination, other ideas and images that have come to you?
Well, I think at the time I wanted to try to imagine what might be just beneath the surface of something that I'm looking around, and I'm living in a regular kind of reality, or reality, and I'm, what is it that I'm missing that's beneath the ordinary reality? And I started to imagine all kinds of various stories that could be beneath what we see in everyday life, but that could be adapted to connect in some way to everyday life, if you know what I mean.
You're a great reader. You've read an immense amount of young adult fiction and fantasy and things like that. Is there a story from your reading that resembles your dream in any way? Does your dream take you to thinking about a particular
Probably the Chronicles of Narnia,
how the
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the characters stepped inside a wardrobe and pushed toward
the wardrobe. So when we always ask of dreams, could it play out in the future? Could this play out in the future in the sense that you will come in your imaginal life to a place like this, and or that you'll re-enter the dream, or that you'll actually create a story inspired by the dream?
I think I want to write a story by it, simply because I've remembered it for 2 years now.
All right.
Do you have
any question about the dream at this point?
I would have a question about what kinds of things I might find. I mean, I haven't totally explored those aspects I'm planning to.
So if it's my dream and I'm a writer as you are, my way of re-entering the dream, revisiting the dream, is going to be to write from it. I mean, I might put myself in a light meditative state back into that space. but I'm probably going to have my pencil in hand or my fingers on the keyboard and see what comes. Some thoughts that come immediately in the presence of this dream of the cavern opening into who knows what. First of all, the genesis of Tolkien's immense, you know, construction, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and all of that. It began while Tolkien was grading papers and slightly bored, and suddenly into his mind pops the phrase, "In a hole in the ground there lived a hobbit." He did that while his left brain was distracted in ordinary life. A similar space is opening if it's my dream in the dream. I also think of something that I tell myself and others all the time. The doors to the other world open from where you are. I also think of a dream which had an edge to it, an edge of fear and anxiety, lacking from your dream, which has a sense of joy and celebration. I think of a dream that you've heard me report from a woman who came from South Africa to one of my workshops. And in a recurring dream, the scene is played out again and again. She comes to a hole in the ground, a cavernous space. It's like a crater. It seems immense. And she knows the secrets of life are to be found at the bottom of that hole in the ground. But every time she comes to it, she's frozen in fear and can't go down. She comes to one of my workshops. I say to her, as you've heard me say to many, "Great, let's jump down the hole. I'm going to drum for you. You're going to jump down the hole, find the secret of life, and everything's going to be great." And she's paralyzed in fear again with the drumming. So I ask her permission to help her out. And she tries again, and this time a maned African lion sticks his big face and his hot, meaty breath into her face and suggests to her that there are worse options than jumping down the hole. She jumps down the hole. She finds things which help her to redirect and change her life. Now, there's not that edge of fear or anxiety in your dream. It seems to be all good. There is the sense of being able to go down there, maybe open a world, and put it all on paper and have another children's book. And that's what you're going to do, yes?
Well, I think I'm going to put it on my list, yes.
On the list. I know you've always got a lot of things going at one time. You have a lot of creative projects simmering. Since this one surfaced in this conversation, it does feel as if there's a certain kind of timeliness about it, as if the time for the story might be now rather than another 2 years down the road. But you're the writer. You're the only one who can tell. As someone with a certain number of writing projects on his own list, Meredith, I can't push you to take up one thing while I know you're doing others without contemplating the long list of unfulfilled or unfinished projects I have myself. Let's go back to dreaming at Indy with you wonderful dream sisters. Tell me something more. Give us a picture. Give us another scene of what you're doing, a scene of what's happening with people when they're exposed to these techniques and these games.
Well, in our most recent one we had at the local law firm, we were doing Dreaming with the World Tree. And I decided that it would be a good idea for each individual person to reclaim their own memory of a relationship with nature, a relationship with a tree. So we invited them to do a meditative journey with my drum, to journey to a childhood memory and pull up a joyful memory connected to a tree or to nature, relationship with nature. As we worked our workshop, we followed the process for the workshop as well as for themes that came up or individual journeys that we went through during the workshop. As we came toward working with the action plan for people's dreams, we began to bring the group together to do a group visioning or a group dream. And we led them through what we called a visioning for a group. And each of them would then express in their own way some gift they could take back to their local organization that would help their local organization fulfill a dream in the community. The best thing that came out of that, I think, was that we had a local director of a local organization in our workshop who represented the Indiana Forest Alliance. And we had her talk to the group about how a dream of hers became a more extended action plan for doing the advocacy work in our state for preserving our forests. So this turned out to be a very inspiring workshop, and we're still getting responses from it and requests to do more. So I hope that's pretty clear, I guess.
Well, that's a beautiful example. I mean, I love the community outreach. There's the sense of ripple spreading wider and wider, the sense of roots and rhizomes to take your tree meditation. Actually, my mind goes to the great tree of peace, which the Iroquois of the Northeast is the great white pine, whose roots are said to extend in all directions, bringing peace and healing to those who need it. We've been talking to Meredith Eastwood, a wonderful dream and dream teacher based in Indianapolis, about the experience of dreaming with her community. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. When we come back, we'll talk to another wonderful dream teacher from Indy after the break.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Back to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Today we have the pleasure and the privilege of talking to the Indy Three of the Dreamtime, three fabulous dream teachers and dream ambassadors operating in the Indianapolis area and bringing the gifts and the light and the humor of dreaming to those around them. We have Jennifer Foley. Jenny on the line. Hi, Jenny.
Hello, Robert.
Well, I nearly had to lie down after Meredith bowled me over with an accounting of all that you three are doing. It's absolutely remarkable and fabulous. So tell me a little bit about your experience of bringing dreaming to people who maybe have not had much exposure to talking about this kind of thing and haven't really been validated before. Well, tell me a little bit about what your encounters with people in your area who are coming into the power of dreams.
I would love to. I am a wellness coach and was very attracted to active dreaming from the health and wellness benefits that through my study and coming to your classes and becoming a Dream Teacher One, I just see that modality to fit into my work. So I work in a corporate setting with a multi-temp warehouse and all of the people there. And am able to provide coaching, and with the coaching, I provide the lightning dream work that I feel valuable in helping them to find balance and a prescription for their own health and their life. So I do that, and then Meredith and I have had the best time providing urban retreats around Indianapolis, and then I have my own private practice with body map coaching, and I use lightning dream work there as well.
Fabulous. You know, tell us a story, if you want to, of doing dream work with one of the people that you help.
So at the warehouse that I work, we oftentimes hire people who have been incarcerated. Mm. And there was one gentleman who came in who, in my assessment, was basically having some post-traumatic stress from his experience having been incarcerated. And I just had him talk to me about some of the dreams that he had had. And we just worked through the dream, and he seemed to come to a whole nother level of understanding about some decisions and choices in his life that he had made that landed him where he was.
Okay. That's very good. That's important work, and that's courageous work, and thank you for doing it. Any other cases you want to talk about? Maybe, I mean, I'm always thrilled when I'm teaching by the light that comes on in the eyes of someone who's never really had a safe space to share a personal dream or story and is now being celebrated and heard deeply and realizes that it's okay to talk about this. You're not crazy, or if you're crazy, you're in good company. You can get some feedback that is helpful, and you can be coached and guided to action. And you're very good at coaching people to take appropriate action in the course of health and wellness. So tell me a little bit about your experience of introducing our basic dream sharing technique to people who've never had anything like this before.
Well, I'm going to be very personal about that. I have quite a few teenagers in my life and in my home, and through going through your classes and learning what I've learned, I just open up the concept of let's talk about dreams. And you know, sometimes teenagers aren't the easiest to talk with to find out what's really going on. And I have found that my two daughters are very interested in this and will ride to school or, you know, we'll be sitting at the table and I'll just say, hey, who had a dream? And they're offering it up. Their friends will ask me about it. And seems to be a great way for us to find a different level of communication. And
yes,
I really enjoy it.
This is something that everybody needs to understand. I mean, anyone in a family situation. But having this safe way to share dreams and stories can break through log jams and walls of ice or glass in family relations. It can help people to say their truth in a way that
yes.
enables them to be heard. It raises energy, and it gives you know, direction and guidance for the day. So it's a great family entertainment also, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And we laugh, and they'll say, oh, you know, Mom, this is just a really weird dream. I'm like, great. The weirder, the better. I want to hear it.
Yes. And, of course, if we can incite the younger people to take this up, then they can become dream ambassadors in their own right. I wish that every family would wake up to this when the kids are young and encourage kids when they're young, very small, to tell their
yes.
dreams, to celebrate them in writing and story and art and so on and play acting, and then keep that enthusiasm alive, because at the end of the day, if we're going to become a dreaming culture, it's going to be the kids who are going to make that happen. They're the ones who are going to convert the adults by and large, because for a long time we haven't had a practice of dream sharing. We haven't been valuing dreams as a society. We haven't been offering a way to talk about them. We haven't been validating people for being dreamers. We haven't been giving social encouragement and reinforcement. So whether we're starting with teens, with really young children, this is so important. So tell me something more about dreaming in Indy, Jenny. Tell me something more about what you're doing.
Well, one of the things that Meredith Eastwood, my dear friend and colleague, and I have added to some of the dream work to make it, I guess, a little more our style, I guess. I don't know. But we're very into, with each one of our urban retreats, inviting someone from the community that is living the expression of the topic we're talking about. And as I said, like I'm just so excited about the action piece. And in addition to that, really focusing on making tools to transfer the lightning dream work into action. Because I feel in doing some of this work on my own with people privately, when we get to the action piece, we can say a few things, but as you know, we can talk a lot of things, but if we're not actually putting things into action and moving something forward, it stays the same, or you stop getting dreams, or you go into a dream drought. And so Meredith and I have really worked on those specific areas to show action, and that has just been really yummy. Would you like me to tell you the people that we invited, or...
Well, yummy is good, and action is required. Dreams require action. I mean, as you said very truly, I had people quoted, if we don't take action from dreams, to put it in my own words, we may not dream well. In fact, our dreams might dry up for a while because our dream producers think, well, we're not paying attention, we're not following
yeah.
through on this, so let's go away for a while because this person is, you know, not a worthy receiver. I feel this as a
yeah.
writer sometimes, Jenny, to be quite personal about it. Sometimes when my stream of inspiration in my own dream seems to be interrupted, I recognize it's because I've not yet done something or not yet done enough with all the material that I've received already. So it's as if my creative crew are saying, okay, Robert, get on with what you've been given already, and then we'll give you some more.
Yes.
Someone like me rarely has dream interrupters in the sense of not remembering dreams for any period of time at all. But there are different kinds of dreams, there are different streams of dreaming, and sometimes we might notice that the really most creative torrent of dreams stops for a while if we're not taking action. So this is a core principle of our whole approach to these things. Dreams require embodiment. They require that we need to embody the guidance and healing and energy of dreams in our bodies, in our lives, and then we will be more well. And you know already from your work in terms of wellness, dreams are so essential for many reasons. They show us what's going on inside the body. They show us that it gives an impeccable readout, an X-ray, an MRI of our emotional and spiritual health. And, of course, they give us imagery for healing ourselves and others. So this is such important work, and I'm glad that you're doing it.
I am too. I really became very clear about even the first step before dreaming, which is that insomnia in our nation is like a silent health crisis. And
you're calling insomnia a health crisis.
I feel like that, yes. I feel like, you know, basically half of adults in America aren't sleeping. So,
well,
you know,
my attitude towards that is probably a heterodox one. My feeling is if you don't feel like sleeping, don't worry about it. Do something else, including line that drifty state between sleep and awake and see if something comes to you. I'm just going to let that thought hang in the air. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. We have to take a break, and after that we're going to talk to the third of our Indianapolis dreaming sisters, Teresa Vasquez. Thank you so much, Jenny, and may your best
dreams. Thank you, Robert.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
We're talking to the three Dreaming Sisters of Indianapolis, people who are based in and around Indianapolis, bringing the dreaming to people in all sorts of wonderful, juicy, yummy, as Jennifer Foley said, ways. Our next guest is Teresa Vasquez. She's a wonderful, wonderful teacher and helper, a compassionate soul, a big-time dreamer, and I know that Teresa's having fun bringing dreaming to people, not only in Indianapolis, but she's operating the Chicago area and other places. And Teresa, welcome.
Thank you so much, Robert. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Yeah. Now, you said that you have a dream you want to tell. Is that right?
I sure do. This one is from a couple nights ago. And so the title of this dream is Stray Students.
Say it again.
Stray Students.
Okay.
Okay. So I am in the registrar's office in the college where I work. And there is a student who is insisting that she is in my class for next semester. And I'm telling her, you know, I don't have any classes next semester. I'm not teaching next semester. And she's insisting, no, but I'm registered in your class, and I'm going to be taking your class. And so we're going back and forth arguing whether or not she's in my class. And so then, you know, I'm trying to look for the registrar and see if the registrar can help figure out what's going on. And so then coming out of the dream, the feeling that I have, the kind of overarching feeling, is an urgency to make things right. And I'm feeling really kind of confused and disoriented because I know for certain that nobody has contacted me from the college to teach a class for next semester. So,
okay. Well, let's pause and do the, you know the process, of course, but let's just break it up into its components so people can follow the steps that we're taking. So what do you recognize from this dream in the rest of your life?
Well, you know, I have been historically a college professor, and I have a class that's currently going on. And one thing that I did recognize immediately was the fact that in my virtual classroom, because I teach online, in my virtual classroom, a new student appeared, and we're in the midst of finals week right now. And so I was a little bit alarmed, you know, before I went to bed, so that was apparently on my mind. And so, you know, I'm transitioning out of college teaching at this time, and so I was thinking, well, this couldn't possibly be right. So a little bit about the investigation I did when I got up. I went to our college's website and I looked at next semester's offerings and noted that I am indeed signed up to teach two classes. Completely unbeknownst to me.
In the dream you knew this, but in ordinary life you didn't yet know it.
Yes, and so that's one of the things that I found really remarkable about this dream. Mm-hmm. It really kind of blew me away. I hadn't had one of those dreams where, at least that I recognized, where what was happening in the dream that seemed not correct from the standpoint of waking life actually was correct.
So this is why it's so important always for us to ask, is it possible the dream will be played out in the future, literally or symbolically? And
indeed,
although before you did your checking, you might have said, well, it could be played out symbolically. You might have not recognized it could be played out literally. But now that you know that you're scheduled to lead classes the next semester, is it possible that this problem with the student will actually come up? Is that possible?
Oh, most certainly, yeah.
So do you have any questions around the dream at this time?
Well, my question isn't so much about the content of the dream, and my action plan is quite clear. But what I'm curious about is the form of the dream, and I think that when we study dreams, when we are privy to the dreams of many different people, we can kind of see certain modalities of dreams. And this one, where the dream experience is the one that is correct and true and completely valid. That's what interests me about this dream.
Well, if it's my dream, I'm interested in on several levels. I'm interested in whether the dream is coaching me to prepare for a specific situation in which a student who wants to get to my class needs help in getting registered. I'm going to be poised to recognize that situation, which might come up quite literally in the future, and act upon it. When I think about that aspect of the dream, I think of very simple rehearsal dreams of my own. Let me give you one that's in a college context. I dreamed many years ago, I put this in my book, Conscious Dreaming, that I'm scheduled to give a lecture in an auditorium, and no one can hear me because the air conditioning is impossibly loud, and the problem is that if we open the windows, it's blisteringly hot outside, so our choice in the dream is either to swelter in the heat or for me to have to try and shout over the air conditioning. I woke from this dream. I decided I would check it out quite literally. I drove to the campus where I was scheduled to give a lecture that summer, had them turn on the AC. It was exactly as in the dream. So we were able to move this lecture to another place, but without the dream, I would have been living the exact situation from the dream. So I never want to miss the possible literal advisories in the dream and take appropriate action. Now, the other things are interesting too. I mean, symbolically, the symbolism might be even more important if I were not, in your case, in your shoes, going back to teach at that college. The dream is, might be making an analogy in surveying my future situation with how things used to operate in the old workplace or the old situation, which might be a model for tests of another kind coming up. Mm-hmm. Whether on that level and on the literal one too, Teresa, I would be pleased. I'd be happy that this student is so eager to get to me, even if there are roadblocks in the way. The student's ready to persist and try and find his or her way through the hurdles involving the registrar's office, etc. So I would be ready in a general way, Teresa, to receive more people who will be passionately interested in coming to me and helping them get through the roadblocks and obstacles in whatever sense that might mean in order to come to the wonderful courses I am teaching, not only as a college professor, but as a dream teacher. How's that?
Yes, indeed. I love that. That's a wonderful way to view the dream, because it is certainly true that that I'm wanting to offer my classes and my services in a variety of new ways. And so, it makes sense that in the dream that I'm transitioning out of kind of the old story into a new and more exciting one. And that really has a lot to do with my action plan.
Yes, so we're going to come to your action plan. Let me just add one more thing from my dream perspective. I mean, I find that I have to intervene from time to time with the registrar, so to speak, with the center or facilitator or coordinator for my own trainings and dream workshops to make it possible for someone to get there who either for financial reasons or for other reasons are having trouble getting to me. Many times in the course of a year. So I keep that in mind also in growing my action plan. So what is your action plan?
So my action plan is, and I've done part of this already, I've written a very kind note to my program chair and my dean, stating that I'm very thankful for for them signing me up for the classes, but I had not expressed the intention to continue and that nobody had contacted me. So that I will be sitting out this semester at the college. But the other part of my action plan is that I will take the time, and I will choose to take the time, to really work much more on the current projects, which are working with active dreaming and working with my artwork and in my new workplace at the Indianapolis Art Center. And, I'm channeling those things there.
Great. All right, we're talking to Teresa Vasquez, the third of our dream teachers from Indianapolis. We'll be back with more after the break.
HealthyLife.net,
where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com, and take a look at the events calendar. We're still filling in some of the descriptions for next year. We put at least a skeleton of my public trainings and workshops in 2018. Our wonderful guest today is Teresa Vasquez. She's the third of our indie-based dream teachers and dream ambassadors. And she wants to tell us a story about what happened at an art camp where she was helping kids with dreams and letting them blossom into dream theater. So you're on, Teresa. Tell us about that story.
Okay. So this past summer, I was a camp counselor at our art camp, and the topic of the week-long camp was alternative methods and materials, and it was for kids that were 10 to 13 years old. And so we covered a variety of different art forms. We used a lot of recycled materials. We used a lot of materials in kind of unorthodox ways. But we also devoted a session to performance art. And so this is an area that I had had some training in graduate school. And I wanted to introduce the kids to the practice of active dreaming. And so one of the really strong practices that we have in active dreaming is working with dream theater. And so I introduced the idea of sharing dreams and actually enacting them, having each student figure out the characters that were in the dream. And we had a dream that was very interesting that was proposed. It was a couple of girls who were going from a hotel into kind of a natural area. And in this natural area, there was a kind of a troll. And the troll asked the girls, or told the girls, you know, there is this giant flower here, and it's very beautiful. And wouldn't you like to come and get near it and smell its wonderful fragrance? And the friend was saying, well, no, you shouldn't get close to that flower, you know. And then the man says, when they start to get close, oh, and that's a human eating flower. So when the friend kind of pulls her away, you know, they wander away and they come back, but they're just really fascinated with this flower. And so they enacted all the different parts. Somebody played the flower, someone played the troll, of course the two main characters, and the young lady who had this dream was guiding, you know, each step, and then she had the opportunity to interview the various characters and get their perspectives on the possible ways to extend the dream and everything. And so this was such great fun for the kids that they wanted to continue to do this the next couple days of the camp. They wanted to start the morning with Dream Theater. So I feel like it was a real win. It was a real way to introduce Lightning Dreamworks to the students. It was a real way to make them see that, you know, that Dream Theater is a very viable way to process dreams and to really learn from them.
I would have loved to see the carnivorous flower acted and speaking. Did the carnivorous flower have something interesting to say?
Oh, the carnivorous flower basically was saying, you know, I am all of your desires. I am all of the things that you're kind of afraid to get close to and really become as you're growing. You know, it was a very poignant teenage type of a dream.
Oh, and
you know,
I'm hungry.
That happened during that time. You know?
I'm hungry, says the human eating flower. what a beautiful picture you painted. I bet there was great interest in playing the carnivorous flower. I bet lots of girls would like to play that role.
The thing is, the dreams are too important for us to just sit around analyzing them, and actually that bores people and they go away and the group doesn't prosper. We've got to get some energy going, and dream theater, or even just a quick sketch of a dream, some movement going with the dream, is a good way to get started. As you know, you probably do the same now, Teresa. When I'm opening a circle these days, and I have people introduce themselves, rather than have, you know, a long dream report and a long discussion, I'll just have them, people give us a sense of the dream, just a title or one line, and give us some body movement. And sometimes that flowers into quick dream performance, and we'll have several of those. So everybody is inside this, they're connected to it. If you're playing a role in a dream, in a theater from someone's dream, there's no way you can't, you can fail to relate to the dream. You might have difficulty with keeping your attention span if they're just telling it, particularly if they're mumbling and going off into sideshows. But when you're in the performance, you're really in the dream, and so it comes alive, and the feedback we can give each other speaking as dream characters is remarkable. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Kids love it. I've seen very young kids take to this immediately, and oh, the glee with which a young kid will portray mom, or what someone else portray mom, or the or T-Rex, or whatever else is going on, and the energy and the laughter and the breakthrough potential of dream theater for kids at any age from 3 to 93 is remarkable. So thank you again for doing that. We're talking to Teresa Vasquez. I should mention she's a wonderful artist whose dreams seem to fuel her art, as well as a teacher, college professor, and one of the dream activists in the Midwest, in Indianapolis, and I understand increasingly in the Chicago area, who's bringing dreaming to our society and helping to midwife the rebirth of a dreaming culture where we honor and celebrate dreams, dreams of the night and dreams of life every day. The time is now. So thank you for all you're doing, Teresa, and thank you for talking to us in this program.
Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back in a moment really to say hail and farewell.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. What joy, what fun to have three dream teachers from the Midwest on telling us what they're doing with kids and dreamers of all ages. If you want to contact them, a couple of them are up at my website. You go to the Regional Dream Schools page and you'll find Meredith Eastwood, wonderful teacher, storyteller, photographer, teaching especially in the Indianapolis area, and Teresa Vasquez, who's active not only in the Indy area, but also increasingly in Chicago. So go to the Regional Dream Schools page at mossdreams.com and you'll find contact information for them, and if you're within range, you'll have a wonderful time talking to them, participating in the wonderful games that dreamers play. We're here to play better games. We're here to tell bigger and braver stories and live them and tell them so well they want to take root in the world. All right, from now until next time, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.